Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue Alpine TV. In today's episode, we'll talk about Litecoin becoming the new favorite currency of the dark web. We'll talk about IBM moving big into blockchain technology, and we'll talk about what Telegram did right with their ICO and the future of money raising. So let's jump right into this first news story. It's kind of a report, not really a news story, and it's not that new. It's about 1.5 months old, but we just recently found this on the web, and I think it's quite interesting. It says Litecoin emerges as the next dominant dark web currency. So as you know, the dark web is kind of a parallel universe, for the podcast listeners, I'm putting this into quotes, that it exists next to the normal internet. The dark web can only be accessed with certain tools such as the Tor browser and other things. And on the dark web, you can find pretty much anything. You can buy pretty much anything. Mostly illegal things such as drugs and guns are also traded on the dark web. Now, because, for example, Bitcoin in the beginning was quite thought to be quite anonymous, it was used quite often in the dark web, on the dark web, on sites like, for example, Silk Road. And Silk Road was one of the biggest and first big dark web e-commerce sites you could buy, or rather marketplaces, not e-commerce. So on these marketplaces, people were offering drugs and guns and all kinds of illegal things. And most people bought with Bitcoin because they thought it was somewhat anonymous. Now, in Bitcoin's case, it has been proven that Bitcoin can actually be kind of traced back through cookies and all other methods. So it's not 100% anonymous. And since then, different cryptocurrencies have actually made their entry into the market of this dark web. And what this company, Recorded Future, and that's a security company, what they have done is actually they have gone through different forums and dark web sites and actually analyzed how many different coins are being used on what kind of sites. Now, I would definitely recommend you download the entire PDF to go through it, because it's quite interesting. They are saying that they did an extensive analysis on 150 of the most prominent message boards, marketplaces, and illicit services. And the reveal was surprisingly that Litecoin seems to be preferred by the people who are on the dark web. Now, it's not just Litecoin, it's mainly Litecoin, especially in Eastern European countries. So in the Western European part, you still see in the English speaking dark web, you still see Monero kind of being the dominant force. And in the Eastern European dark web, you see kind of Litecoin with those 35%, closely followed by Dash, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, Zcash, and then Monero. And the thing is, the report says that it's very likely that Bitcoin will still have some kind of share when it comes to dark web, but it will very likely become less and less relevant when you want to pay something on the dark web. So currencies like Litecoin, which are obviously, for example, Litecoin is not 100% private either, so it kind of suffers from the same thing as Bitcoin, but it is much faster. So probably that's one of the reasons why it gets preferred. Other coins such as Monero are more focused on privacy, so it's kind of it will probably stay that way, that Monero and Dash and Litecoin will actually be the preferred currencies of the dark web. Bitcoin will still play a role, but much less so, on a different scale. Generally, they are even expecting some kind of different currency to pop up that is really, really focused on the dark web. That's also a possibility. Could be based on one of those coins that are mentioned here. Could be something entirely different. But it's definitely interesting to see how this whole dark web thing evolves. I think, independently from what you think about the dark web, I think it's important to see kind of what type of currencies are used by what kind of people to actually understand the use cases. So it doesn't necessarily mean that when you invest in Monero that you're supporting this. Not at all. I mean, you can also buy drugs and guns with fiat currencies, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're supporting this directly. So it's interesting from an investor's perspective to understand what is actually getting used in different types of markets. And if you're, for example, one of your investment theses is that privacy will become a big topic, then you could technically do certain investments into Monero, Dash, and Zcash, and all of these types of coins as well. If you're thinking, no, privacy will go away and other currencies such as Bitcoin and Litecoin will stay dominant, then you do your investment accordingly. So it's definitely an interesting link. I will link this in the description and the show notes of the podcast. I've already shared this in the Telegram group. So if you're not a member yet, go to bit.ly/blue-alpine and then you can join our free Telegram channel where I share interesting news and analysis on different things. Now, next up, we have IBM Evolution. Big Blue is finally getting serious about cryptocurrency. Now, IBM was mainly in the news because, for one, it started to kind of get interested into blockchain technology, and the other thing was mainly because they have announced a partnership with Stellar Lumens in October. Now, they're saying, or actually their new head of blockchain development, Jesse Lund, is saying, we're seeing tons of demand for digital asset issuance across the board. So different companies are approaching IBM and saying, hey, we need something like a digital currency. We need a cryptocurrency of our own that we can control. Help us out. And IBM is kind of banking on building up that knowledge and that technology to supply to different services. Jesse Lund is also saying that it's very likely that this year we will see a major bank to start kind of, or a central bank start getting into, slowly but surely getting into cryptocurrency. So he's saying specifically he described the most durable digital asset as one that is issued by a central bank that represents a claim on fiat deposits in the real world, but still maintains some semblance of monetary policy. I expect that we'll see sometime this year a central bank at least putting its big toe in the water to issue a digital denomination of their fiat currency into the wild, probably in a controlled format. So it's kind of happening with Venezuela, with potentially Russia or Iran, even Turkey. We see these countries slowly but surely thinking about what kind of currency they could launch. Obviously, when you come from a more ideological background, you don't believe in a centralized cryptocurrency. It kind of really goes against the philosophy of cryptocurrencies. However, if this means that an in-between step could be reached by governments and by working with people, this could be one good way about going things. And don't forget, IBM is mainly catering towards corporate, towards big corporations and corporations in general. So it's very normal that they're kind of discussing this. Lund is also saying that the demand towards IBM is coming from different sides. So there are actually two or three big topics that are coming up. And as an investor, this is quite interesting for you as well. So Lund breaks down the demand IBM is seeing into three main kinds of tokens: securities tokens that give owners a stake in the issuing company, utility tokens that give users access to a service such as phone minutes, and commodities tokens that represent precious metals and other physical assets. Now, if you would like to hear what kind of tokens or what kind of crypto projects are actually fitting those bills of these two to three categories, make sure to sign up with our Telegram group, bit.ly/blue-alpine. There I'll actually share some of these tokens that are fitting those bills and that you could, as an investor, invest into if one of your investment theses is actually that securities tokens will be big, or utility tokens or commodities tokens. So we'll share that in the Telegram group for free. A fourth category of companies Lund said is approaching IBM are startups looking to raise capital, though he admits these opportunities have proved less enticing. We're less inclined to do those. We'd like to see more maturity in the clients that we work with. Now, very clear statement. IBM working mainly with big corporations and governments, and startups kind of not that interesting for IBM at this stage. Now, when we talk about raising capital, you remember we talked about the ICO from Telegram the last couple of days. We've talked about this concept that more and more startups could potentially use an ICO to raise capital without giving up control. And this brings me kind of to this last, not even news story, but kind of tweet by Chris Barniske. And he is the writer of the book called Crypto Assets. Really good book. I can recommend it. He's here saying in this kind of tweet storm, if you will, he's saying Telegram chose from a place of strength to use a crypto asset as their monetization model instead of equity. Now, traditionally, Telegram would have gone the venture capital route or investor route, would have pitched investors, and investors would have begged actually to invest into Telegram because it's been so successful, and people definitely see a use case for Telegram. So venture capitalists have actually approached Telegram a bunch of times and actually said, look, for example, I'm inventing this for 10% of the company, will give you 20 million or whatever. Now, in this tweet storm, Chris also says Telegram's choice to say crypto asset is greater than equity is the single most important takeaway for me from the TON, so the Telegram Open Network sale. I'm not sure everyone appreciates how much VCs have yearned to invest into Telegram over the years. And Pavel Durov, he's the co-founder of Telegram, was never having it. So Pavel Durov actually declined VC meetings because he believed that in the future he could monetize Telegram differently. Telegram now has an opportunity to prove to the world that a crypto asset is a more efficient monetization model than equity for information networks. And a lot of solid entrepreneurs will be watching how this choice of crypto asset greater than equity will play out, especially given the aura of respect around Telegram's team over the years. Now, Telegram's team has been in the media quite some time regarding some potential scandals from side of for example, FBI. So it is rumored that, for example, team members of Telegram have been approached by the FBI to kind of build backdoors into the program for very huge amounts of money. So the parts of like US governmental organizations are kind of working with different messaging applications in order to avoid terrorism and all of these things, in order to kind of keep some kind of control. Now, Telegram has been very strict there and said, no, we don't accept that any kind of money. And the team is quite doing a great job. So they are not kind of building that for a governmental organization. Now, that's what Chris is referring to. Now, he's saying most prior examples of injecting a crypto asset into an existing centrally operated app have come as a result of suffocating under the equity monetization model. Kick you now. Etc. Telegram never had an equity monetization model to begin with. Now, in Kik's case, Kik is also a messaging application and actually has raised money before starting kind of an ICO. They have since then started an ICO, etc., etc. Many have asked why we didn't invest into TON. Obviously, then the question comes up, why didn't you invest into TON for Chris? But this is a different story. I think the main part is from 1 to 6, and it is basically saying that if Telegram can pull this off as kind of a raising capital through a crypto asset, through issuing a cryptocurrency, a crypto asset, then this could be the future of money raising. And even if you don't participate in the Telegram ICO, this is an extremely important development, in my opinion, in the general ecosystem of cryptocurrencies, because it means that startups don't need to go to venture capitalists or to angel investors to raise capital, but can go directly through to the end consumer to raise money for a project. Think about all the cryptocurrencies you currently have in the portfolio. You have been approached, or you went and bought that token or that currency because you believed in the platform, or because you believe the currency to have some kind of value. Now, that value is equal to kind of what the company can use in terms of your money. So you're buying something with your money, they're using your money to develop the platform further, etc., etc. So it kind of works by cutting out some kind of a middleman in the meantime of a life cycle of a startup. And that's really an interesting concept. So definitely keep an eye on this Telegram ICO, how this whole thing develops, and think about what it means for the ecosystem as well. And with that, guys, we're already at the end of today's episode. Make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast, join the Telegram channel, and I'll see you on the next one. Take care.